Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
The Martha Complex. I want to start by reading our text passage for this morning out of Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I want to tell you the end from the beginning. The key points in this message, Martha thought she was spiritual. The truth is, Martha was busy. The truth is, Martha judged Mary that she wasn't spiritual. And the truth is, Mary was the one that was right. It was Martha that needed corrected, not Mary. We're busy. Did you know that? It seems there's an endless amount of things to do wherever we turn. Every day, I saw a poster one time, it said, good morning, let the stress begin. And how many people live with that? From the second we get up in the morning until our head hits the pillow, and probably for some time afterward, we're still thinking about all the things there is to do. It's never done. This is how we take on life. I found this article from a book by Jim Wilson. And it says, I do not mean to make an idol of health, but it does seem to me that at least some of us have made an idol of exhaustion. The only time that we know we've done enough is when we're running on empty and when the ones we love most are the ones we see the least. When we lie down to sleep at night, we offer our full appointment calendars to God in lieu of prayer, believing that God, who is as busy as we are, will surely understand. We're busy. We're busy all the time. There's always something to do. We all have three to-do lists, whether you realize it or not. One, the things we ought to do. The things we want to do. And then there's the things we do. And it never ends. Our lists are driven by our mindset. Martha had Jesus Christ in her living room, and she was too busy. Her mindset was, I've got to get this done, I've got to get this done, I've got to get this done. And of course, my guest will be pleased. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She wasn't overwhelmed with a to-do list. Jesus confirmed Mary was right, Martha was wrong. And we have to learn from this passage because it applies to us today. As it did 2,000 years ago, it applied to them. Many believers are like Martha. God did not record this so we could condemn Martha. He gave us this so that we would all take a long, hard look at our lives. Are we doing what matters? Or are we missing the obvious? Too many times people suppose that serving is a higher calling than sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word, and establishing a personal relationship. They suppose that busyness is spirituality. Busy people might not be spiritual, but spiritual people might be busy. Busy does not mean you're spiritual. It means you're busy. And you might be busy about good things, you might be busy about bad things. How many times are we busy with projects and yet lack spirituality? Martha was busy and she needed correction. and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and she was commended. This is a well-known passage. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, know this passage. You're familiar with it. You've probably heard messages on it. Two women, sisters, are in the same situation. Jesus is in their living room, and Mary took the opportunity to sit at his feet. And Martha was too busy. It was more important for her to be busy than it was to have a relationship with Jesus. Very sobering truth here. Much is said in these few verses. Martha thought she was spiritual. She wasn't. She thought she was more spiritual than Mary. So much so, she would go to Jesus and say, "Hey, would you tell her to get with the program?" And Jesus looked at her and said, "Uh-uh. It's not her, it's you." She had to realize that busyness was not superior to hearing the Word of God and having a personal relationship. All believers bring baggage into their Christian life. Martha brought busyness into her Christian life. And she had to learn that that was not spirituality. Let us consider Martha. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." I want you to notice this. I perceive she owned the house, and Mary lived with her. She has a place. I don't see a husband involved. She is apparently maintaining this with the help of her sister. But apparently, she must be the owner or the one at least on the lease or something. Her house, how she got it, we don't know. But apparently she's maintaining it. To her credit, she's making an honorable living. We look at her and she's not a slob on the street begging. She has applied herself and somehow God has blessed her and she has a place to live. We have to believe she's industrious. As a matter of fact, we see it to the point that when Jesus was in her living room, she was still industrious. To a fault. We see that Mary lived with Martha. I have to wonder if this being Martha's house, did that give her the attitude, "Mary, you're going to do it my way." I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but she sure felt that when she was with Jesus. "You're wrong. You need to be busy about the work to be done around here." Mary saw the opportunity and sat at Jesus' feet. And Martha was busy serving. And you know what it did? Created tension between sisters who had Jesus in their living room. Martha didn't reject Jesus. Not at all. She welcomed him into her home. It says she received him. So her problem is not that she scorned him and his teachings. If you were to ask her, "What do you think of Jesus?" She, "Oh my, wonderful. What about his teaching? Great, but I'm too busy." Her problem was not understanding service and truth and spiritual growth and a relationship with Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And as we see in this story, she was convinced she was right. How many times have we covered this verse in Proverbs 16:2? "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes." We all think we're right. This is why we've got to base our lives on the Word of God and not on our own understanding. But the Lord weighs the spirits. Martha thought she was right. Why? She was so convinced. Look at verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him. Jesus said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" Now today we might not do that because Jesus is not physically sitting in the room before us, but we'll take it to God in prayer. "Would you have so-and-so get busy?" I want you to think about the scene there though. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was sitting there. And where's Mary? Sitting before him. And Martha comes in. "Would you tell her to get to work?" You want to talk about an uncomfortable situation. I'll bet that made her guests just feel wonderfully welcome. I just love family debates when I'm there. bid her that she help me. And she got an answer that she wasn't expecting. It's not her, it's you. You're the one that needs corrected, not Mary. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. You two are in the same exact situation, the same home, and she gets it and you don't. It's interesting, too, that Jesus came and he's sharing his word. Mary sees the importance. She sits and listens. But Martha says, no, I don't serve God that way. I serve this way. By cleaning dishes, preparing food, getting drinks, wiping down counters, carrying things in and out of the kitchen. Folks, don't tell God how you're going to serve. Let him tell you how you will serve. Oh, she was busy. She set her own standards. And Martha was determined, this will make my guests comfortable, and this is what my sister ought to do. And she was the one that was wrong. Jesus corrected her, Martha, Martha, when God calls your name twice, it's not good. We see that a few times in Scripture, and in each case, it's not pretty. He didn't call you twice by your name because you were doing something warm and wonderful. It's because you needed a little bit of correction there. When Jesus said, he said, Martha, you're carried and troubled about many things. She was cumbered about. He didn't say specifically that those things were wrong. But they took precedence over more important things. That's where the problem was. There's nothing wrong with serving someone coffee. There's nothing wrong with preparing something for someone to refresh themselves with. There's nothing wrong with washing dishes. But not now. Not now. You have the God of all creation sitting in your living room. And you're too busy. The problem was, these things took precedence over her relationship. She has not properly assessed the situation in her very living room. That is God of all creation. She's not being the great hostess that she thinks she is. She's cumbered. It means to be distracted with cares. But she is convinced that this is the way to handle this situation. Oh, if I could only get this done and this done and this done. Folks, it will never end. Your to-do list will go on, and let me give you a little secret. When you die, your list still won't be done. And those things that we thought we had to get done, either somebody else has got to do it, or they're just going to go by the wayside and never get done. Maybe our tombstone needs to read, now you do it. Rather than helping, Martha was creating an uncomfortable situation. I have to wonder if she was out in the kitchen slamming cabinet doors and the old guilt trip. You've heard the expression, she's a tour guide for guilt trips. I have to wonder. She was careful and troubled. Careful. The inward anxiety and trouble, the outward result of that, about many things. Did you know that being cumbered about with much service was only a symptom of the deeper problem? She is worried and turmoiled about life, and she's trying to get everything in order. If only I could get all of this done, then I could sit down and have peace. And God says, no, you ought to be sitting down right now. Many people have this Martha complex. If only I could get such and such done, then I'll have peace. That day will never come. Because we live in a sin-sick world. We live in a world of disorganization. Things go from order to disorder. It's the natural event of life. Oh, if only I could get this done. Now, I'm not saying that we're supposed to be irresponsible. Surely, for a time, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, but there was also a time for Mary to get up and get back to what was to be served and done. I'm not asking us to neglect responsibility. I'm asking us to put them in order. And Jesus Christ must come first. Martha judged this system completely wrong. It wasn't Mary. It wasn't Jesus that was wrong. It was Martha. What was she supposed to tell Jesus? Would you please be quiet until we get this serving done? No, Jesus said, now is the time. I want you to think that Mary would change to do Martha's will. It wouldn't solve anything. Because the list is never done. Even if Martha got her own way. You see, the real problem is not the cleaning. The problem is all the busyness is only a symptom of a deeper internal problem. She wasn't right with God. And she had to work on her relationship. Jesus revealed the real problem. Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled. He didn't say you had too many things to do. Your mindset is all wrong. Oh, if I could get this and this and... The real problem, you're careful and troubled about many things, and it's making you cumbered about, and so here you are busy, and now you're taking it out on Mary. And worse yet, you're going to God of all creation complaining about your sister who isn't doing what you think she ought to do. Martha sought to serve while Mary sought to worship and learn. I want you to get this. Both will receive teaching from Jesus. Mary got it the easy way. She voluntarily sat at his feet. Martha got it the hard way. In front of her sister, she was corrected. Ouch. Here she is, pointing the finger at her sister, and Jesus said, no, it's not her. God will try to reach his people any way he has to. He met Martha where she was. He met Mary where she was. But he does correct and guide all of his children for our personal needs for spiritual growth. Martha needed to set herself free from her cares. Stop worrying. Your priorities are out of order. The deeds themselves were not wrong. It was the priority that was wrong. There's nothing wrong in preparing, serving, and cleaning, but they took precedence over greater matters. And here she is also, cleaning and preparing. Why? For Jesus. But Jesus, I am busy for you. I mean, I'm cleaning and cooking so that you can come into this wonderful, nice house and I can serve you. And he says, I'm not pleased with how you're serving me. You're serving me wrong. Let's work on your spiritual relationship first. Let's handle that. Why don't you sit down and listen to the word? Here Martha is so close to the God of all creation, yet she's so far. Because she thinks that busyness is the proper service for Jesus. And he says, no, sit down and learn of me. Christian, we can be like this. In church week after week, but we think that busyness and service is busyness rather than starting with spirituality. Martha failed to see she was wrong, yet she was so convinced she was right. And actually, that made her give herself a pretty good self-righteous attitude, such so that she pointed out Mary's faults right before God that was speaking directly to her. How blind do we get when we're judgmental? Jesus is literally talking to Mary, and she says, Mary, you're wrong. Be careful. Be careful. She thought Mary was a poor hostess. It was Martha's fault. And Martha's attitude obviously created tension between her and her sister. Her sister was right, but she was convinced she was wrong. Mary, sitting there before Jesus, come on, Martha, have a seat. Hear the word of God. Develop your relationship with him. I can't. I need to serve here, here, and her, here. No, you're cumbered about with too much. She wanted Mary to do things her way. She really needed to do things Mary's way. I want to get three powerful lessons from this. I want you to, first of all, imagine what would have happened had Mary listened to Martha and got busy serving. Where would that leave Jesus? Alone in the living room. Now those two women would be busy, and washing dishes, making dinner, cleaning things are not wrong until they take precedence over the spiritual. And so here it is, these busy people are forgetting Jesus Christ. Neglecting Him under the guise of great busyness. But I served you coffee, I cleaned your plate, I got you this, I got you a footrest, but you neglected me. They could list all these wonderful accomplishments, and Jesus would have said, but I was ignored. This is the very dismal condition of the church of Laodicea that we see in Revelation. As Martha had many works, they had many works. Look at your verse sheet there. Revelation 3:14, under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, thus saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works. Martha, I know your works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because they're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. They're born-again people. They're a church. It says they're a church, a born-again, called-out assembly. God says, I know your works, and I'm not pleased. Martha, I'm not pleased with your works. Let us read on. Martha thought she was okay. Because thou sayest, verse 17, I am rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Knowest thou not, you're wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and spiritually naked. Oh, I know your works. But you don't get it. You're busy. But you're not spiritual. Martha was corrected by Jesus to seek spirituality. Look at verse 18. I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. You're not really rich. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Martha, you're not seeing what's going on in your very living room. Laodicea, you're not seeing spirituality. And imagine if Mary would have gotten up, left Jesus and gone about the busyness of Martha. She would have had the same situation as Laodicea. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, Mary, Martha, you, I'm in your living room. I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. And so it is, many people can offer their service and their accomplishments, but they're not spiritual. Martha was not spiritual. Laodicea was surely born again, but they were not spiritual. The second key point I want you to get is Jesus did not answer Martha's prayer as she expected him to. When she came into the living room there and she said, Lord, would you tell my sister to get busy? Today we would say that's prayer. Heavenly Father, so-and-so needs to get with the program. But he did not answer as she expected him to. She expected him to, Mary, get up, let's go. Get out there in the kitchen now. How many times do we pray incorrectly? Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, and I want to parallel that with today, a prayer. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, she help me. And Jesus is not going to answer that the way she thought he would. And he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. She asked amiss. Would you tell her to get busy? It's not her that needs corrected. I'm not going to answer that prayer that way. I'm going to answer it differently, Martha. And how many times does God answer our prayers, but we don't recognize it because we ask amiss? We all know Romans chapter 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, and we use that verse quite often to comfort people, to comfort ourselves. But what's the context? Let's look at the context, start at verse 26, as we pray. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And sometimes we pray like Martha. Lord, change that person. We're not asking right. We're not praying as we ought. And the Holy Spirit is uttering prayers up also. Now obviously we're asking incorrectly. The Holy Spirit is God in spirit. He is praying the perfect will of God. Which prayer do you think is going to get answered? And we're both praying about the same situation. Hence, you pray an imperfect prayer, I pray an imperfect prayer, and the Holy Spirit prays a perfect prayer. The Lord answers the Holy Spirit's prayer about the same situation, and guess what? We don't recognize the answer. Why don't you answer me, Lord? And God says, I did. The Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us. The Holy Spirit is praying at the same time we are for the same thing. The same situation, but He's praying one way and we're praying quite another. He's praying with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we don't even know how we ought to pray. And so the Holy Spirit prays for situation A. We pray for situation A. The Holy Spirit's prayer is answered. Our prayer is left out there, incorrect. And it's been answered, but we don't get it. We don't get it. Therefore, that's why Paul said in verse 28, hey, listen, all things are working together for good. The Lord did answer your prayer. You don't understand. All things are working together for good, but since it didn't get answered the way you thought it should, therefore God didn't answer. No, God did answer. You just don't understand it. Martha prayed for Mary to change. Her prayer was flawed. Jesus showed her she needed a change. The third key lesson, spirituality is the most important thing in life. Martha needed to learn that spirituality was more important than service. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. One! You've got many things you're trying to get done. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, I want you to put spirituality more important than your serving. I want us to consider, in the book of Acts, chapter 6, the Grecians had widows that were being neglected in the early church. The apostles were busy waiting on tables, and apparently they were being neglected. And so when it was brought to their attention, they had to correct the problem. Look at Acts 6:2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. See, women were being neglected. They didn't deny it. But now how are we going to fix this? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business of waiting on tables. I want you to consider that. He did not say, look for experts who have restaurant experience to wait on tables. To wait on tables, he said, look for men, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Spirituality. Those are the people that need to be put over this tremendous responsibility. Folks, we must be spiritual first and foremost. Martha, Martha, you're serving, but you're neglecting spirituality. There's a time for service, but we must put spirituality first. Don't look for experts to be servants. Look for spiritual people to be servants. It's a biblical principle. Many people have this Martha complex. They're busy, but they're not doing the things that matter. They want others to change, and they're judgmental of them. They need to see themselves. Let me give you an interesting warning. Excessive busyness is just as wrong as laziness, for they both rob you of the time you have to do what you ought to do. Needless busyness is as dangerous as wrong as laziness, because it robs you of the time that you have to do what you ought to do. We need to remember, folks, we only have so much time here on this earth. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes. Folks, we're going to be gone. We might not be here tomorrow. Chances are we will, but some of us might not. We don't know when our last breath is. We're a vapor. And even if we are going to be here for another 10, 15, 20, 30 years, whatever, we need to make it all count because ultimately it's a vapor. You look back on your life throughout the years and my goodness, where did the time go? We must make it all count. So as we look at our lives and we see how brief it is, we must also remember everything in this world is going to burn up. Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. This is all going to be gone. How much are you going to put into something that's going to be gone? That's why it's kind of painful sometimes to keep fixing a car. Eventually, you got to get rid of the thing. You can't fix it anymore. And it's disappointing to put money into a depreciating asset. That's this world. And we're going to be gone in a vapor. We must only do those things that count for eternity. I want to conclude with this illustration. The last words found in Sir Walter Scott's diary were, quote, tomorrow we shall, and that's where he stopped. There was no tomorrow for him. He died with good intentions to accomplish a certain goal, a goal that was neither stated in his diary nor accomplished by him. Every person has goals and dreams that he or she longs for, plans for, even begins to reach for. Yet there are many people who fall short of their goals simply because of limited time or opportunity. And that is why it is also important to get busy to the right thing immediately. Do right. Don't waste your time on busy serving. There's a time to serve. There's a time to sit down at the feet of Jesus because spirituality and a personal relationship is more important than busyness. Settling accounts with the Lord should never be put off, neither for salvation or for service. Yes, we must be busy. It's biblical that we would do and fulfill the purpose that God has for us, but not to the point that we are needlessly busy interfering with our personal relationship and time with the Lord. The apostles admonished the people that spiritual men should work on tables, not just experts. This guy worked in the hotel business. Let's put him in there. No. No. Spirituality, Martha. Spirituality, Martha. Mary has chosen that which is right. And it all begins with salvation. The Christian life begins at salvation. Let that hand represent you and me. Let that billfold represent sin. God loves us all. We're sinners, but He loves us. He hates the sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what are we going to do with that sin? If we die with this on us, we're going to spend eternity separated from God. But God is not willing that any should perish. And God sees that we can do nothing to get rid of this. He's known it. He provided for it. It's us that has to get it, that we can't get rid of this sin on our own. There's nothing in our flesh we could do. You could raise your hand, walk aisles, give all your money. You could do whatever you deem to be good, and it will not buy you a second in heaven. It will not do anything to alleviate that sin debt. The price is too great. God made the provision with Jesus Christ, His Son, who came born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, and willfully went to that cross as the perfect sacrifice that could satisfy sin's debt. He shed His blood. He gave up the ghost 3 days, 3 nights. In the grave, He rose again, paid in full. You see, He did what we could never do. He could pay sin's debt. And in God's love, in God's provision, that debt was satisfied for every human being that would ever come on this earth through Jesus Christ. He paid it all in full. Going to heaven is not a matter of what we do to get rid of that sin. It's a matter of what Jesus did. He did what we could never do. He paid the full debt for every person. It's when you get it in the quietness of your mind. I get it. I thought it was church attendance. I thought it was water baptism. I thought it was communion. I thought it was walking an aisle. I don't know what I thought. But I get it. I'm a sinner, and there's nothing that I can do to get rid of that sin debt. I get it. Jesus, that's why He died. He paid my sin debt in full. And His death satisfied God that I don't have to face the second death. I can have eternal life. Because God loves me, He hates my sin, for God so loved the world, the sinner, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the sin debt of the world. And whosoever, whichever sinner, believes in His work of redemption and that alone for their salvation, shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's where it all begins. When we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior apart from any works. And that moment we're born again because God knows our thoughts. Then we begin the Christian life. Now we begin to grow to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now we ought to be like Mary. Take our time to sit at the feet of Jesus, hear His preaching, and not put service more important than it is hearing the Word of God and growing in Him. Surely there's a time we're busy, but it must never take precedence over our spiritual growth to the point that Jesus on the outside, knocking, if any man will come, I'll come in and sup with him. We begin the Christian life to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is what Martha needed. Martha, 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 Martha. Maybe this morning is the first time you got it. You never understood salvation. The light bulb turned on. I don't know what I thought. I thought going to church got me to heaven. I thought walking an aisle got me to heaven. I don't know what I thought. But today you understand Jesus paid it all. And maybe today you've trusted Jesus Christ in the quietness of your mind. And God knows your thoughts. The moment you trust Jesus and that alone, that moment you're born again. Now you've begun the Christian life. Now you start to live for Jesus. Now you read your Bible and you conform to be the image of Christ. It's a lifetime work and you never get there, but you keep going. Yielding yourself to God's leading. But for salvation, it's exclusively when you trust Jesus as your personal Savior.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.